When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I just found out my married son had an affair, and the woman may be pregnant.
I breastfed all my children at the same time. I also breastfed my husband.
What?
And then all of a sudden, this thought creeps into my head. What if I teleport to the roof?
You guys want to talk about boobs for a quick second?
So, ladies and gentlemen, the very, very first time in the studio, we have, looking at me right now, Marquesa Scalia. Marky. We're going to move on.
I am not friend up. I am not housewife, maybe. I am housewife.
I just don't see a reason for me to listen to your podcast.
Okay, all right, okay. needless to say, we wind up having sex. Whoa!
I think my life without television would have been drastically different.
Sex in a car is probably something you're not that great at.
I was great at that, actually.
Rich Wakili is not hairy.
I will say this. No one gets more unsolicited drinks thrown at them than Al.
Lauren Scalia is my Venmo if you guys want to send me some money.
Chris Manzo 8, as usual, nothing changed there.
Having you on the show was a mistake.
Here's my thought. I just had an idea, but I forgot it.
The dating life in general should have just straight up contracts. Should be like sports.
What's up, everybody? Dear Albie, this is, we had you guys write in a while back. This is the Friends with Benefits episode. I almost fell off the chair. That's never almost happened. But the reason I did that is because I just had to move my chair because here is, first of all, Lauren Manzo.
Hello.
And also, making his triumphant return, Mr. Greg Bennett.
Hey, guys.
Do we want to talk about why you guys are here?
I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, well, you know what?
I feel like a failure.
You know what? We'll get into it. You know, these things are, you know, they take time. We don't want to ruin the surprise, actually. I'm going to decide not to do that. We're not going to go down that road because we want to surprise everybody. But you're here, and first things first, Greg.
Yeah.
My sincere condolences to my fourth roommate, Dolores Von Cartier.
Thank you.
Who on this very show, you talked about the event of her untimely death, which unfortunately you were met with. Do you want to walk us through that?
I really did. Well, the people at killed her. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. They didn't. But Dolores was old, and father time comes for us all. And
frail.
It was the hardest thing I ever had to do, and so I miss her every day.
You actually put her down, or
I put her down. Yes, Alex and I went, and we were there till the very last second.
Wait, did they make you leave the room before they did it?
No.
Oh, you held her. Got to hold her. We told Austin.
Yeah, we held him.
And she didn't break eye contact with me once.
I know.
Yeah, neither did Austin.
Oh, my God, man. Kicked me in the balls. Yeah. That was hard.
And you watch the soul leave their eyes, I felt.
Oh, my poor sweet thing.
And then where is she? Is she memorialized? Do you have plans? Did you indeed stuff her?
You know what's
her?
So weird? I did not stuff her.
Did you think about it?
No, okay. I didn't. I needed to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I needed
really?
To leave there and never go back. Mm. And I was like, I don't want her ashes.
What?
No, I was like, this needs to be done. This needs to be done. I cannot do this. Like, I have to be done with it.
I can't believe we get her ashes.
No.
We even have Austin's ashes.
No,
we even
I didn't want to. Because I was thinking about, you may not know this, but recall this, but there was an episode of New York Housewives where Sonia Morgan had a dog funeral for Milu. Her small dog, and they had this whole ceremony, and then she goes to scatter the ashes into the river, and they all blew back into.
Oh my God! Really?
And I was like, I can't scatter her ashes. I don't want her sitting on the bookshelf. I just needed to, like, I don't know. I was very emotional that day.
Wow.
And I needed it to be done, so I donated her bag and her leash there. I was like,
"Oh my God,
a poor dog owner who needs a bag and a leash." I don't know. I don't care. I just can't throw it away in the street.
Well,
I don't know.
Why don't you make like a little memorial, like a Planet Hollywood thing, like, you know, maybe her fur coat and a leash or something. You know what I mean?
So her collar is on the mantle in our apartment, mm-hmm. around a photo of her, and I got a 16x20. Photo framed. It's just shipped. I just got a notification, and I'm a little, I don't know, I'm very sad about it, but Also, like, will I still be funny? Like, all my stories were about her, and now what will I post? Like, just nothing, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess your soul went with Dolores's.
It did. A little piece of me died that day. But really excited to buy rugs. And
yeah, from experience, she used to ruin rugs.
She sure did.
Yeah.
Yeah, really excited to have a whole bunch of rugs in my apartment.
Well, I think the outpouring on social media from
it was
what
really
I saw,
nice.
It was very
and thank
touching.
You to everybody who like DM'd me and said really nice things to me. I didn't respond to a lot of them because I was just like sad. But I want to say thank you if you're listening to this podcast and you also reached out to me. It was very kind of you, and I really appreciated it.
Very beautiful. Well, hey, listen, since you guys are here, we had a couple of things that were going on that we threw out on our Dear Albie Instagram. And everybody, thank you for tuning in. Rate, subscribe, all that stuff. I have to keep saying that. Anyway, we had a Dear Albie that we've been getting a lot of the same things over and over in the Dear Albie mailbag. And we wanted to kind of switch it up. So we got together. We found a couple Dear Albie questions that we really liked and framed a couple episodes around them. And this one is basically friends with benefits. Here's the Dear Albie question that started this off. And it's interesting, Greg, that you're here on this one. And I'll just get right into it. This is from 1977. And it reads, Dear Albie, that letter, now they're referencing an old letter here. Hopefully, and go ahead, Lauren.
I really don't like that when I'm on the show, when we do Dear Albie things, I like the Dear Albie ones better because I feel like, who gives a fuck about the Dear Albie questions and why do I want to answer them? I want to answer the Dear Albie questions. I want to know what the listeners want to know and what the listeners are asking our opinion on. I don't care what someone who's probably dead asked in the 70s.
Well, you might.
I don't.
But here's the thing. Just,
what if you let him give it a shot?
Okay. Yeah, it's context.
I'm
so the reason.
Saying, so do it.
Brutus Manzo.
Then, do it and then like. If I'm not into it, I would like to move on.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
All right, whatever. But this is the question that came in that made us want to look into the friends with benefits thing. And it's interesting because I think we're going to get into a little couple of personal things. If you don't want to share, Greg, it's up to you. But it references an older letter, right? And it says, Dear Albie, that letter from Shalom in Colorado made me stop and think. I'm a guy who has been gay for as long as I can remember. One night, I got bombed on beer and stoned on pot, and we went the other way with a straight girl. She was bombed and stoned. We both wanted to see what it was like. When we sobered up several hours later, we were sick to our stomachs and couldn't look at each other. It would have never happened if we had been in our right minds. We agreed it was stupid, nutty, and never again. But here's the clincher. We have been dear friends ever since. As for your favorite looniness, Albie, thinking homosexuals as people who are have a severe personality disorder, isn't that a condition that renders a person unable to handle a human experience? So please tell me who has the biggest chunk of it. I don't know. We might just cut that other piece out. But we basically ran into this Dear Albie question of a gay guy and a straight girl who randomly hooked up with each other, which made us say, wow, like that, like friends, hooking up with a friend or friends with benefits thing is an interesting topic. Now, Greg, on your end, has that been something that has ever happened to you?
Have I ever gotten drunk and hooked up with a girl?
Well, it's either that or, like, did you have girlfriends maybe at one point, like, hit on you? Like, Lauren ever throw it at you?
No. No. No, I've hooked up with girls, but before I came out of the closet. So, never. Yeah, no. I've never had a situation where, like, a girl has been like, come on, like, you can't really be all gay. Like,
no one's tried to turn, like, you know, turn you?
No. 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 And I guess, you know what? I was, like, 23 when I went on Housewives, so, like, everyone knew me as, like, a very gay man. So, yeah. I guess, like, I didn't have to deal with that. I don't know.
Have you ever been...
That could have gone the other way, though.
Could have, I guess, but it didn't.
Like, do you think, Lauren, do you have any time, right, where you meet a lot of Greg's friends, okay, which you know are gay? Are you immediately in any way, are you attracted to them? Or do you say to yourself?
When I first met Greg, it was like, oh my God, why are you gay? You're so hot and I love you. Like, if you look, our Facebook memories are mortifying.
Oh, so embarrassing.
Because I used to like comment on
She was like, hey, sexy. I wish you were my boyfriend, but you're not. You're just my best friend.
Jesus.
Not exactly, but
so embarrassing.
On that level of embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And also, actually, today, Greg and I were walking around the mall. I bought myself a pair of shoes that I should not have purchased. I can't afford them, and I bought them anyway. I bought myself a pair of shoes, and Greg was with me. And I said, Greg, I have to tell you something. When you posted for Alex, his fiance, for his birthday, I was like, Alex is, like, really hot. Like, I'd, like, look at him and be like, yo, that guy's fucking hot. Like, and I don't see him that way because I know that, I mean, at this point, Alex, I would call him a friend, not just Greg, not just my friend's fiance. But I was like, when I met him, I'm like, oh, Greg's boyfriend. This is Greg's boyfriend. I wasn't looking at him like, oh, let me see if I think he's hot or not. But sometimes I'll post a picture of him or a video, and I'm like, damn, Alex is hot. So, yeah, you could still be attracted to a gay man. I think Greg's a handsome man. I think he has a great, like, body. Or not. Yeah, you can say I don't know that I'd say great body. I'd say, like, great build. I like his build. I like that he's large, he's tall. He's not. No, like, he doesn't have a six-pack.
Could have just stopped at great body.
No, he doesn't have a six-pack. I like Greg's build. I think he's handsome. I think he's got a good look to him. And I think Alex is, like, we had a whole conversation the other day about kids and everything. And I was like, yo, if, like, the day comes, you guys want to have kids. Like, if you're going to have a boy, you better use Greg's sperm.
I can't have
because, like, Greg's a breeder. Like, you need, like, if you're going to use a man, you want them to look like Greg. But do not have a girl with Greg's sperm.
I know, I'm so scared to have a girl.
Do not have a girl with Greg's sperm, because that girl will be a linebacker.
Poor thing.
That's not something you do.
I know.
But so you want to have a boy or a girl, Greg?
I don't care what I have, but I don't want a girl with my DNA.
So
she's going to be so big.
The girl will be with Alex's DNA. I have made that decision for them.
Mm-hmm. How do you you don't control that?
I think you do.
I think, I mean, I put that in their heads,
with
and they're both
money,
going with it.
With enough money, you can control anything.
They're both going with it. Mm-hmm. I don't care for them if they wanted me to, but they made it clear that they wouldn't want anyone that they know to, because they think that, like, it's like, for the rest of my life, I'd be like, I gave them a child. Like, yeah, it's like, hey, you guys want to get dinner? No, we're tired. You know what? Don't let me remind
me
you that I gave
back.
Don't let me remind you that this is my kid.
Yeah. Lauren is the type of person that, like, holds getting a bottle of water from me from the other room over my head for years.
Yeah,
I can only, her birthing her child, I could see it being the type of ammunition you don't want to just hand over to somebody.
No need.
Yeah, I get that. But we threw this out on Instagram and for the mailbag for a couple of episodes, and we got a ton of people writing in talking about how they have their friends with benefit scenarios and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a really interesting ride. I'm stuttering here because Lauren just slowly got up.
And she just left.
Are you really going to throw up? I can't believe this happens every time.
She goes,
people are going to think I'm full of shit, Jules. People are going to think we're full of shit. People, hold on.
I think we're farting on the show.
Yeah, let's see if they hear a wretch. Oh, my God.
That was gross.
Oh. Oh, my Ooh. God. What did you guys eat?
We had a two martini lunch.
But that didn't sound like a martini,
man. She had,
like,
a little tiny, like, medallion of steak.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. Is there a mouthwash?
And, yeah, we got an app. Yeah. And I had French onion soup.
Yeah, she's... Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
my God.
Lauren.
Yeah, that's what you want to carry your child.
Gross.
That's exactly what you want. She got up so gracefully, too.
She really did.
That was like, those were several wretches. That's what you call that, right? A wretch? There was several.
There were a solid five wretches there.
I heard quite a few in there. I don't know. That was rough, man. That was, Lauren, are you okay? Wow. Look at this. She looks the same. She doesn't. You wouldn't even know it.
You just made it a lot harder than it had to be.
Okay. Well, here we go.
All these babies in cribs in this basement.
Yeah, all right. Lauren, mind just sitting back in front of the mic? So this is a story.
You are out of control.
A story we got hit with, okay, at the Dear Albie Instagram. So, Dear Albie, old high school crush and I reconnected after running into each other at a local store once I moved back to my hometown. We exchanged numbers and made plans to hang out. During this first hangout/date, we made it very clear that we could only be fuck buddies or FWB. I assume that means friends with benefits. Look at that. We were almost calculating about it, setting up ground rules and boundaries. Everything went well for about 6 months. I even once saw him on a first date, and as per our agreement, that was fine. I guess that was until I went on a date. He happened to see me and waited until I went to the bathroom to confront me away from my date. How could you do this to me? Homie? What? That was my... He said, how could you do this to me, homie? And she said, what? Uh-huh. That was good.
Good job, Al.
Thank you. Later in the night, He noticed I was leaving the bar, parting ways with my date, and he texted me, asked if it'd be okay to give him a lift home, which I was. I mean, we were sleeping together. You're in my bed. Why not my car, I guess? In the ride home, I had to pull over because he started hysterically crying, talking about how I brought up his abandonment daddy issues by being so cavalier about me dating other men. He then would go from, I don't care what you were doing. He then would say, I don't care what you do. We're nothing. Take me home. To, you don't understand what this does to me. How could you? The volatility made it very clear to me that he was just wasted. So I pulled up to his house, basically pushed him out of the car, which made him come around to the driver's side, and he hugged me. He begged me to just walk him in, and I made the mistake of agreeing, mostly because I was afraid he would choke on his own vomit. We fell asleep with him spooning me with the grip of an anaconda, so I couldn't leave. When I woke up the next morning, he asked his mom to come over. I walked out of his bedroom to the smell of food and was greeted by his mother down the hall. Mommy Jane Doe, she's a lovely girl. I pretended I had work and was running incredibly late. Even played, acted so hectic and stressed that I'd lose my job, worthy of an Oscar, and got out of there. Needless to say, I've not gone ever back since, even though he still hits me up with the you up text pretty frequently. Even after a year of no eggplant emoji, I still get the text. I forgot to add that he drunkenly told he needed to finally open up and be honest with me about being deeply in love with me. And she gave her name. We'll call her So. She basically sends
the
story.
Girl just wrote that to you.
Yeah, she wrote that. That's to me. That was a thing. So basically it comes down to, like, you know, feelings after a certain amount of time on a friends with benefits thing, 6 months in, is this normal? And frankly, I think at some point, I think the question is, really, like, it's really more of an internal thing for us. Do you think there needs to be rules and guidelines if you have a friends with benefits scenario? Like, do you think you have to lay that out?
No.
Because she had one, apparently. Like, she's saying that they had rules, and this kid just kind of lost it. So I think in a weird way, I don't know that even helps you.
I think the minute that you have rules, then it's more than just friends with benefits. I think the whole point is with a friend with benefits is to be able to text them and say, you up, and they say yes, and then you go there, and then you do what you want to do, and then you leave. That's the whole point.
Does this generation do that thing now? Or is it just like a Tinder thing, like at this point where there's so many random people to hook up with? Like, I don't know. I don't know how that works. Like, when we were younger, in like high school and college, really more specifically, right? You know, if you ran into somebody out at the bar type of thing, and you were like, I don't think I ever had like a real sit down for that. I can think of one scenario in my whole life where someone brought that up and it was way too awkward.
I never got into like that level of like needing rules for anybody that I guess there were people that I would be like, well, what are you up to?
Mm.
And that would really be, that was it.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't get mad. I wouldn't get mad if I saw them out.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, do you go
one
in?
Guy used to get met. One guy got mad that I was out with someone.
But did you have like an understanding before then?
I thought we did. I thought there was the understanding. Was there was no understanding?
Yeah, right.
It wasn't like trying to take me out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I gonna do? Like, not go out? Like, be upset? Like, be
like you ain't being fed.
Oh, I'm so sorry that me being out offended you. Like, no.
The thing is, everybody wants to do it, and then like when you see somebody else out doing it, and you're not doing the same thing, it's like, oh, well, like, so you think you could do that? But, like, okay, but I'm sure you were just on a date 2 days ago. You know what I mean? Or a week ago or whatever. So I think it's just, like, that person feeling, like, smaller because whatever. It's like an ego.
Yeah, I think it's an ego thing.
Well, Lauren, let me ask you this, right? You probably, I would think, in your line of work, get quite the amount of people that, like, sit in that chair and vent, right?
Yeah, but not really about stuff like that.
Not so much about like a friends with benefits type of a thing, or like, do you think that there are people that like get into relationships like, you know, right, that are in a friends with benefits type scenario, but they're like acting like it's a relationship, like they just say like they're cool with it just to kind of get it going?
I feel like most of the time the girl is the one that's more, you know, invested in it, or, you know, has feelings, but at the same time maybe they're putting that work in with the guy to be like, okay, I'm just going to, like, be everything that he wants, and I'm going to act like we're just friends with benefits, and just, like, you know, make him fall in love with me. And then, like, when the guy doesn't fall in love with you, and that was kind of the girl thing the whole time, I feel like that's when it gets messy. But I, like, as a girl, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's harder for a girl to be friends with benefits than a guy.
Well, I think in whatever experiences I can draw, like, you could be honest with somebody, and then a couple of months go by, whatever, and they'll be like, well, what is going on? Like, what are we thing? Not even when you say, oh, we're friends with benefits. Like, if I went into a relationship and said, look, I don't want, not even a relationship. If I went into something and said, like, I want to be really clear, like, I'm not looking for anything right now. And, you know, some time went by, like, I could see certain people just kind of throwing it in your face because, and that's where, like, things might get a little bit weird. Like, you just got to communicate it from the get.
Yeah, I think if you say you're not looking for anything off the bat, then it's a little bit easier to, like, fall back on that than being like, here are the rules of this friends with benefit arrangement.
Yeah, like, you got to sign off.
Yeah, no, I don't agree with that.
Hmm, interesting.
Now, that guy just sounded like he liked her, though.
Do you think, though, if you meet, now, I've never used an app, but if you think that you met somebody on an app that is for hookups, that...
Me? I've never done that.
Well, I'm just saying, like if that, like, type of thing goes down, it's different. Like, is the expectation written out and obvious going in?
Yes.
So if there's a follow-up after, you'd be like, yo, man, I just met you on whatever?
Well, I mean, I've been in a few situations where I've met someone on an app for... like the purpose of hooking up with them and not like, you know, doing, not expecting anything more than that, but have also gotten dates out of situations like that.
Well, I feel like the gays have an advantage in this regard because, at least gay guys, because being, you know, still kind of governed by, let's say, testosterone and all that other stuff, right? Do you think gay guys have an advantage because they get straight to the point?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, there's less emotion in it?
Oh, for sure. Like, it's there for, we're there for one thing, and then we go our separate ways.
Then you move, like, on.
Yeah.
It's weird for me, too, like, because if you think about it, like, I got to imagine that gets awkward often, because when you're in a relationship, like, you're in a relationship now, and you go to, like, you guys have a birthday party, and there's, like, 50 other gay guys that are there.
Yeah.
Are there, like... like, when there's another guy that would just check out, like, my girlfriend, to me, I see that, and I'm like, what's up? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's a thing there. Is it the same for gay guys?
Like, if you're at a birthday party and somebody checks out your...
yeah, like, can you tell, like, is that kind of, yeah, expect, like, is it a little bit harder to, like, identify?
No.
So, like, what is it?
Well, actually, sometimes, because Alex will be like, that person was flirting with you all night. And I'm like,
right.
I don't pick up on that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I really don't. It never even crosses my mind that, mm-hmm, they're hitting on me. Like, swear to God. Unless they're, like, overtly hitting on me. But, yeah, like, if they're just like, hey, like, how are things going? Like, I don't know. Like, I think it's just having a conversation at a party. Alex doesn't always perceive it that way. But I've been in other relationships where, like, people have hit on them, or people have hit on Alex in front of me too. Like, I don't get mad. I don't.
Yeah, see, it's weird because, like, when I look at it, like, with guys and girls, right? If my girlfriend has guy friends, I'm of the opinion that there is no such thing as a guy that wants to be your friend. That is how I feel, right?
Yeah.
That is real, real. There could be extenuating circumstances here and there, but the vast majority of the time, 90, 95% of the time, I think there's something else there. There's another layer, right? Just because of how guys are built. In the gay world, do you think about that the same way? Because obviously your friends are mostly guys that are into the same thing as you.
Yeah. No, because you can tell within like 10 minutes if someone's interested in you, like in a romantic, like in a sexual way, or they just want to be your friend.
Mm-hmm.
So once you get past that initial like dance of like, what is this gonna be, then you can kind of either just let your hair down and be like, whatever, or you can pursue it and play that game, like that romantic, like, back and forth thing that you do at a party before you go home with somebody.
It's interesting how all that works. Lauren's not listening to a damn word we're saying. Nope. All right, question from Heartless, let's move on, I suppose. Dear Albie, after a tough relationship, a bad breakup a few years ago, I've had no interest in being in having a boyfriend. Since good. Then, I've only had hookups and FWB situations. I didn't know that was a thing. That was an acronym.
Al, yes. That's okay. Very true.
And been completely happy with that. A couple of months ago, a friend introduced me to someone she knows and we hit it off. What started off as hooking up once in a while became spending the night once or twice a week. It's always been fun and we have good conversations. We obviously never defined anything, but it was pretty much understood that both of us were just looking for something casual. Now, though, I think I like him. I haven't actually had feelings for someone in years, so it's been a surprise, and I have no idea how to even approach it. I know I can be upset if he's not into it because I know I can't be upset if he's not into it because it's what I signed up for. But I'm at the point where I have nothing, where I have to say something. What's the best way to bring it up without being too weird, heartless?
Just bring it up drunk, and then if he's not into it, be like, "I was so drunk yesterday. Sorry, that was awkward."
Yeah, I agree.
That's actually really good advice.
That's all I gotta say.
Wow, that's really good, Laura.
Mm-hmm.
So she's saying if she wants to tell this guy she likes him, but she...
yeah, they're like doing the whole hookup thing, and then you know the next thing you know they've got like a whole situation on their hands, and she likes him. You know,
like maybe like act weird one day, like don't answer all his texts right away, or don't like be like. Just be like, oh, yeah, not tonight. I'm not around, whatever, and see, like, how he reacts to it. Like, does he get jealous? Does he get upset? Does he get nervous? Does he start saying, is everything okay? Like, if he's just like, hey, are you okay? Like, if you want to talk about something, you know, see if he cares. And if he doesn't care, then it's like, oh, maybe he really just doesn't give a fuck. And then if one night, if you guys go get drinks or something before going out, just be like, hey, listen, like, I'm starting to feel like I like you a little bit and, like, whatever. And then do it in your drunk way. And then if he says no, be like... Okay.
Well, the thing is, even if that goes horribly wrong, like the advantage that you have.
Yo, I was drunk and not for nothing, but now you're making a big deal about nothing. And like, you just can't handle someone like having a drunk conversation. Loser. And then you're going to lose him anyway. So just like, let it go.
I don't know.
And you shouldn't be still having sex with him if you have feelings for him and he doesn't have feelings back. Then you should probably stop being friends with benefits.
Right. Because you're not friends with benefits.
Yeah. Then it now becomes, it's just your feelings.
It's complicated.
Well, as long as she's not throwing it, like she's at least looking at it and saying, well, he was honest, whatever.
Yeah, but still, all it's going to do is hurt you. And then what's going to do is it's going to make you not want to explore other types of relationships or other people to possibly date because you're going to keep subliminally, like you're going to keep consciously hoping that he's going to fall in love with you and want to be with you and you're not going to want to piss him off or not spend the time with him that, you know, like, it's like, oh, Thursday night, usually so-and-so sleeps over, so I'm not going to go on a date with this guy because so-and-so is going to sleep over. No, he doesn't care about you, so why are you wasting your time on him when you have another prospect that could possibly be the man you're going to marry? So don't waste your time on somebody that doesn't care about you. Find out if he cares about you. If he doesn't care about you, then move on.
Wow.
Yeah. Lauren, like, she went from throwing up to saying nothing to just...
to not paying attention to being all in.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. And now that's all I'll say.
You want me to get into another one?
Greg, do you have anything
to say? Yeah, I have nothing to add to that. That's okay. Really good.
Okay, here we go. So here, another Dear Albie. Dear Albie, so this is more of a story. I am a listener since day one, and I've never submitted a story. But Friends with Benefits is one that I feel I can contribute to. When I got divorced, I was kind of looking for a FWB situation because I still wanted to live my best single life. I met this guy, and the very first time we hooked up, it was the night before my ex-husband was moving his things out of the house. We had been separated for quite a while, but he had to wait for movers, college town. I had a freak out after we hooked up because I was feeling overwhelmed. The guy didn't get my hints about leaving and sat on the couch in his underwear telling me about how hard it had been for him to date since moving to my area. I was about to give him a hard get the hell out when he literally started crying in his underwear on my couch because his parents texted him they didn't think his dog was going to make it.
I relate to this.
After he left, I was like, psh, I'll never see that guy again. He's now my boyfriend of 2 years and we moved across the country together a year ago. Life is weird. That's the whole story.
So she's asking for advice.
Right? No. She's telling us a story. Every once in a while, we just let people... I look at it like... For 10 years, people butted in on our lives. And now, like, you know, we're happy to do that with yours if you have, like, a story. And this is a pretty good story, in my opinion.
So what she's saying is she didn't want him to be sitting... She didn't want him to sit on the couch and cry in his underwear and complain about his dating life. And now they're together.
Now they're dating. I mean, she was also just looking for a friends with benefits situation. I mean, I've got a couple other things here, right? Well, she hooks up with this guy the night before the ex-husband was moving his things out. Like, did he run into the husband crying in his underwear?
I don't know.
That would be wonderful. Let's find that out.
I would be open to hearing about that situation.
Like, I want follow up on that. If you're going to write him with a story, we kind of need some of that. Like, you got to assume. I'm going to ask questions.
Well, I'm glad that they're still together to this day and moved across the country. Alex and I met, and we were not supposed to be anything more than friends with benefits.
You told that story right here on this show.
Did I tell it?
Yeah. You left mozzarella sticks run cold.
I did. Yes, I did tell that story. But he didn't want anybody either. But he wanted me.
Look at that.
And now he's got me forever.
Look at that. Very, very happy. I mean, that's, I mean, do you still, do you put food over him, though, at this point? I mean, like, do you want to eat first?
No. Well, it depends on if, yeah. No, so he's allergic to cheese, so if I want to eat, I'll order something with cheese so that I can be like, oh, well, like, you can't eat this, but I can.
He's suddenly allergic to cheese. Like, I don't know where he, like, gets really sick from it. So, like, we were at the dinner yesterday, and I was like, oh, can we get this? And I was like, oh, but do you want it with no cheese? Because Alex can't have cheese. And I was like, no, sorry, Alex, but I'm getting this for the table, and I'm not going to forego the cheese because you're a fucking allergy. We're getting the cheese.
It's really hard to just give up cheese.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm getting better at it for him.
I'll sit down and say, oh, hey, look, you know, we're dieting. You know what I mean? And we can push each other and shit like that. But if it was like an allergy, like I feel bad because like I'm allergic to shellfish, as we've talked about extensively.
Also, Al's no longer allergic to shellfish.
No, that's, well, the doctor told me I wasn't, but like, how do I know that's true?
Have it in the doctor's office. Try a piece of shrimp and see.
Yeah, but I don't think that was like laying around. Like, you don't have the shrimp cocktail laying around.
Your father owns a catering hall.
He
like,
went and
go
got the test
it.
Again for it. He got the test done again at the doctor's office.
Because your allergies change every like seven
every
years.
Every 7 years, yeah. And it's been like 20 years. And
interesting.
Yeah, he went to the doctor, they did the test, and he's like, you're not allergic to shellfish anymore.
Well, the doctor also said, like, you know, you can end up getting a false negative on that test if you haven't had something for X amount of time. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just telling you.
Got it.
You know? You guys are really pumped. What's going on? Anything else you want to talk about? I got one more question, but I don't even think I'm going to ask it. How are you doing?
Well, I'm just thinking about how it's six. It's almost 6 o'clock, and I have to eat dinner and get Margie ready for bed.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's what you're thinking about right now?
All right. What do you want to eat for dinner?
I think we'll go to Giuseppe's.
Okay. All right.
Greg's not coming to dinner. He's going home to his beau.
Yeah, I'm going home.
Beau.
He doesn't want to come.
Okay, I understand.
I can't eat Giuseppe's tonight. We had 10th Street last night. I can't have any more Italian food.
I'm trying to diet myself. Well, hey guys, this was nice. Really good catching up.
So great job.
Enjoyable. Very enjoyable. Thank you both for coming.
Lauren, you're a beast.
I will get to you guys later.